minutes are going around. Minutes are going around from last month. You have them to sign. So I'd entertain a motion to approve. Yes, I have four people because I was not here.
I'll make the motion with the changes that I have already given.
Okay.
Krista.
All right. A second.
A second.
Okay. Any discussion on the changes? Okay. All in favor?
There were more spelling errors than clarification on the
rest. Oh, wait a minute.
Did you read them?
Oh, you emailed them around?
Yeah. It's an email. No, I just gave
them to for the record, it was page 2, highlighted.
Oh, okay.
Page 7. Changing making to moving.
11
to
12
pages
okay.
To kind of verify
the
information.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
a substantive change. How's that?
All right. All in favor? Opposed? All right. I won't vote because I wasn't yes. Resolutions 96 withdrawn by sponsor. So just for your clarification. 118 approving execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 agreed to by the county of the county economic development alliance department plans. Second?
Second for discussion?
Sure thing. Second, okay, discussion?
Yes, and I apologize because Suzanne and I did not get a chance. We were playing phone tag. Can you just help me? I got the fair weather piece. I'm just trying to understand how the other two media pieces fit in with the Raleigh Green piece and how what that is all about.
Sure.
So if you could share that.
Sure. So the thought was that the target industry analysis is really important, and hopefully it's going to give us better direction about where to move forward, but it's also going to take 6+ months. So in the meantime, the thought was to start with what we're calling a technopreneur campaign. So it's small 2 to 10 people businesses in the New York City area that would be interested in moving to Ulster County for a better quality of life and to move their businesses up here as well.
And how did you determine the technopreneur segment?
Just talking to a lot of business people, talking to a lot of technopreneurs here in Ulster County now who came here for that reason and think that there's that it's a good opportunity. Even at the EDA meeting when we were interviewing Peter Fairweather, he's not completely unrelated, but he heard the discussion and he's like, that's a great idea. Like, it just seems that anyone we talk to, looking at Ulster County's successes and failures with attracting other types of businesses, that this seems like it could really be a win.
So we already have technopreneur businesses here. I mean, outside of Kingston. And part of the challenge that the ones that I know have had, and I think I mentioned this to you, was the lack of high speed
right.
with their businesses, which has really kind of set them back in their own timetable. Thinking they had it, having Time Warner confirm they have it, only to having gotten there and they can't even get the high speeds because they can't even get Time Warner where they're at. So it's created some challenges, that's why I mentioned.
Right, and it definitely is, but at the same time, there's many that are thriving. And so there's this crazy horse of facts in Utah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They contract with HBO and they do post-production and they're one of the best in the world at this, and they've recently located in Utah. They love the vibe.
Have sufficient bandwidth for running their business?
They do. They're actually growing. They had rented a smaller space, and now they're renting and taking a whole house. Mm-hmm. Right on Main Street, right across from the bus station. They love that they can take the bus to and from the city in 90 minutes. They love that.
They may be sending driving. That's what my partner does. Yeah, he doesn't send stuff over broadband when they're editing.
Because they don't have enough to do uploads.
Right.
That's the
right.
issue.
Right. Okay. I mean, somebody for HBO, crazy amount of information.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably don't use.
I would doubt it goes over.
Okay.
All right. So we've had some successes, and it seems like we have quite a few, you want to call them poster children for this type of business. And I don't know if you know Raleigh Green, but he has a reputation for being...
Pardon me.
incredibly creative and thinking outside the box. I was at the Tourism Advisory Committee meeting a few weeks ago at Honorshaven, and Fran DiPicciolo, who works in our tourism department, just been talking about Raleigh and what he's doing for the Barney of Kingston. He was like, Kingston will burn like it never has before.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that that's his reputation, and so I'm excited to work with him, and the EDA board voted to award him a contract to do a micro-campaign. You know, let's see if we can get, you know, figure out who these technopreneurs are, figure out what they're reading and what they're doing and how we can get in front of them, see if, you know, the, and then the thought was to create a video or a number of videos that we use in social media that will help to attract them, that will include case, you know, case studies and whatnot with some of the people that are here, that like-minded people. And so that was that the EDA board had wanted to move forward with that.
Even though part of what Fairweather is doing is not just the targeted industry analysis, but from what I've read, and correct me if I'm wrong, is also kind of helping to create a strategic plan for economic development?
No, not at all.
Oh, well then.
I don't know what direct that's not. It's just supposed to be a targeted industry analysis, not anything that's bigger than that.
It ends with the strategy. Number 9 is the final report. The results of all project tasks will be compiled into an economic development strategy.
Yeah.
That's
the proposed scope of work.
It may not be the contract.
Yeah, you know, right. That's, we're not, it's not going to be anything like that. It's going to end up being a targeted industry analysis.
So
he didn't understand, I guess, when he put that together, because that also goes to the Office of Economic Development. And this isn't from the Office of Economic Development, this is from the Economic Development Alliance. And they're solely looking at marketing. And so after his initial proposal, I guess we went back and forth, and the contract is really just going to be a targeted industry analysis.
And so is it going to be less money?
Yes.
So when I looked at the two proposals which you were kind enough to share, the one from Iowa was pretty much a targeted industry analysis, and his was really a targeted industry analysis that he will then take and translate into a strategic plan.
Right, and he realized at the EDA meeting that that was not what was being requested, and so he streamlined it. We've gone back and forth and back and forth when we're working on the contract.
Certainly, I would think you'd want to expand the scope of work in
the future
that you
have. Well, quite frankly, it's been what I've been asking for. You know, what is the strategic plan? And I keep getting pointed to Ulster Tomorrow, which I get where Ulster Tomorrow is, but it's a dated document. It is not a strategic plan is a living document that that is looked at every year. It's fine-tuned. It's enhanced. Goals against prior years of projects against the strategic plan get evaluated and determined.
It's a policy document.
Pardon me?
It's a policy document.
So what you're saying is it's up to us to set up the strategic plan for economic development.
We're
and
going to update all this tomorrow after the question.
Yeah, I mean, I had some of the same questions that Lynn had, and it's been hard for me to get up to speed to a certain degree, one, because you know, I was new on the committee, two, for some reason my email was not included, this is not you, it came out of this office, my email was not in the email list once I got put on the committee, so I didn't even see any of the documents until Lynn forwarded something to me, and I said, oh, why am I not in this distribution list? And then I had to get everything within last week, and it's a, you know, holiday weekend, but it's a lot of paperwork. But when I read the Fairweather proposal, it made sense to me. Like, I realized now, you know, in hearing you, this is new information that this isn't the proposal that was accepted, because I haven't seen any kind of, I don't know what the contract says or
we're still working on it.
Or,
yeah.
Or what else. So all
it's a targeted industry analysis is what we want, what the EDA board wants to want.
And so then, the EDA wants a targeted industry analysis from Fairweather, and these three other groups, which is Raleigh, Ellen Bogan, and
Evolving Media.
Evolving Media. are separately going to be working on different aspects of targeting the techno entrepreneur.
Right.
So how do those two things interface? I guess that's what I'm not getting, because it seems to me like the other three, when I'm based on the read of the Fairweather report, seem like the cart before the horse kind of thing.
It's sort of the cart next to the horse. It's
okay.
We want to do the target industry analysis. It's really important, but at the same time, it doesn't seem to make sense to just wait for that. That, you know, time is ticking and we should be going, and it seems like, you know, from educated people who know about marketing and attraction, and that this is a good target market for us. And so it's not a lot of money, and so it seems like it would be a good use of the money to start and to see. Let's, like, try it out and see if we get anywhere. Like, the goal, you know, it would be nice to have 40 technopreneurs from New York City on a bus and bring them up here and take them to Mohonk and show them around and see if we get anywhere and be able to evaluate and say, did this work? And for not a lot of money, it seems like we could potentially get a lot of bang for our buck. And something else we learned about at the meeting that's already going to be happening is this hackathon at the Ashokan Center, where there's already sort of a plan to bring technopreneurs up here to spend the weekend hacking. And hacking is a good thing. It sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. So, you know, it would be great if we could, you know, partner with the people who are doing that and help.
Who's sponsoring that event?
So, Evolving Media is, there's a Hudson Valley Tech Meetup. And every other month they meet in at the Kirkland, and every other month they meet at Poughkeepsie. And they asked the EDA to sponsor the Ulster County meetings every other month. And so the next one is going to be at the end of April. And so the EDA agreed to sponsor these. And then this hackathon, I believe, is all part of that. And so when we left it, we said, let's see if we can also figure out a way to work with you on that as well. Because if you're bringing the exact people that we'd like to attract, you know, maybe there's more that we can do to help to make them feel at home here. And so they're basically, it's the cart and the horse next to each other,
yeah.
So that we can, you know, make the most of this year and do it, you know. And we'll evaluate it then, and we'll see, we'll get the fair weather study, and then they should both end around the same time. And then we'll see, you know, how much, if they're aligned, if they're not, and we'll go from there and evaluate and keep going.
Are both sets, are both sets, the Ellen Golden and the Evolving Media, both the pieces, the proposals, one of them had a proposal, it was like a per video proposal, then the aggregate was, the total was $38,000 if you did them all.
So what's going to end up happening, the EDA voted to give them each $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
They love them both. It's the goal, they both came in to present, and we thought they were, the board was going to pick one or the other, and they love them both. And they were both different, and they both seemed to bring, like, Evolving Media seemed to bring a lot of other things to the table, like the hackathon and whatnot. And Josh also from Ellen Dozen brought a lot of different things to the table. And so the EDA board, just wisely, it seemed to me, said, you know, let's give them those $7,500, let's tell them to work together and, you know, put together a package. I was just in Hawaii for the last 2 weeks. I just came back yesterday, I know, poor me, and, but I already have, they've met, Raleigh Green, Kale from Evolving Media, and Ellen Bogan have met at least once, if not more, and they are going to come in and present now what they'd like to do, so that we can move forward with that.
What they'd like to do separately or together?
Together. It's all together, they're all
totally different, it'd be like the three of us. It's not a fair assessment.
But there's not three separate deliverables, it's one deliverable. So when it's moved from a $75,000 expense to, because if you looked at each of them.
Oh, yeah. It's, I think Rollins is whatever he had asked for,
because
that seemed like an amazing bargain to begin with. And then the other two, he's going to get $7,500. I don't know about the three deliverables. One deliverable, again, we need to meet with them and we need to see what they're going to do and how we're going to divvy it up. And but, you know, they're all eager to have more people like them here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are all, like, I love to, I keep looking over and say Kathy nodding. They're giving me a lot of encouragement. But they, you know, they're all sort of working on this in their own way anyway. And So, you know, we just need to meet with them and keep moving forward. Honestly, I'm really hesitant to keep moving too much forward without the money from the county. I feel like it's early April, and, you know, I'm nervous about committing this money without knowing that this is something that the county is going to get behind.
Right, but in fact, what the EDA raised is what has committed the money, but the contract's not signed.
But the contract's not signed.
Yeah.
And there I guess there was a glitch with some of the email stuff, so, you know, I spoke to Krista, that the next, the Economic Development Alliance meeting, everybody on the committee will be emailed, and we will make sure that everybody gets copies of them.
It would help, because we wouldn't be spending
right.
as much time
as
to have or follow-up phone calls, which is always challenging, given everybody's schedules. So, you know, that's part of it. And it's something, as we said before, is that there's an active interest in it. I mean, it's better than not being interested in it. And if I'm here, I want to be a part of where we're evolving to and be able to have the opportunity, which, you know, I look forward to when Fairweather starts his study. So, you know, it's all...
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Can you forward when you get the both the contract and any update in scope of services, because all we have is
mm-hmm,
what they actually proposed, their response to the RFC.
So, which will, yes, with the Fairweather. So, but the other...
But the others are different, too, because
they're going to be
presenting.
So, you haven't committed to those. You're waiting for them to come back to the table to present what their option is. Is that what I heard the next meeting?
I'm working with our contract management team to work out the contract to get something that it seems like what the committee... I wasn't waiting for the committee to meet again.
Because I thought I just heard they're presenting their combined proposal at the next meeting.
Yeah, you said that.
Okay, I guess I wasn't thinking of them.
The three with Raleigh Green.
Right, with Evolving Media, right.
They're going to present their scope, because they're supposed to, all three of them were going to get together, figure how they're going to all work together for the common cause.
Okay.
And with the parameters, so you're saying it's
50, 40-some.
Right, Raleigh.
40.
Yeah,
40.
Plus
15.
Yeah, plus
15.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll make sure that everybody's there when that presentation occurs and everybody's emailed on that. So. Good. Any other questions
or
anything? Okay.
Then,
okay.
Then
all in favor?
Can I make just one more statement?
Yeah.
I'm going, and we did this the last show round, that one was delayed. I'm going to do it again this time, but I'm not, next time, I really feel that it may seem like small amounts of money, but we keep saying that. So if we took last year's 150, this year's 100, that's 300,000. I haven't even heard last year's results of some of the marketing that had been done and what, you know, the value add, the return on that investment. All I'm saying is I think... You know, and maybe we should talk about where does Ulster Tomorrow fit into this from a policy and strategic planning perspective, because at the end of the day, I would hate for us to be spending these small amounts if we set money aside and have a broader plan that we can throw more money at you know, initiatives that in the end are going to reap a return.
Can I just address your concern about last year's successes? We have, when I go meet with businesses, when I get now, you know, contracts from businesses from out of the county, professional materials to send to them. So, you know, as far as you know, how you quantify that, you know, I walk into a meeting and I have professional materials to share that I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
We do the property e-blast every month. We do the quarterly newsletter every 3 months that are, you know, professional looking. That's something
right.
that you'd be proud of. I don't know how you quantify the value of that, but I feel like with Focus Media, we really got
a
really solid, professional-looking start. You know, it's not like the materials we had before were embarrassing. You know, you look at it and you think, this is Ulster County? You know, and now we have the video. It's on the website. It's on social media. It's on anyone who's Googling YouTube, they're seeing the video. I don't think the Site Selection magazine was a great use of our funds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that works, but I also think that could also be because Niagara Bottling was happening at the same time. And nobody anticipated that. but that got all kinds of negative media. So that any site selector who was could potentially been looking at Ulster County at the time that we're advertising in Site Selector magazine is also seeing all the, you know, negative, unwelcoming, you know, feeling from Ulster County towards businesses. So I think that there's reasons that that should or could not have been successful, but and at the end, our Google Analytics showed that that was not a success. There was no, you know, quantifiable bump after the Site Selector magazine. So we wouldn't do that again. And that's, we're not going that approach. You know, that's part of the reason we're going with Raleigh Green and whatnot. But I don't think we're ever going to have quantifiable data about the rest of what we got from Focus Media, because it was really bringing us into the 21st century. It was giving us, you know, the beautiful letterhead, the beautiful brochures, the, you know,
the website.
Right.
You don't have any analytics behind hits on website or...
Not to match the Site Selector magazine.
Got it. Okay.
So no. And so, so that's to answer your question about last year. I think what we got is just going to continue to help us for a really long time to come. When people ask us for information, I mean, we have a fact sheet that is just everything that they want to know right there in a four-pager that is beautiful and, you know, just, I think that just puts it ahead. So I just want to answer that question. There's not going to be a report that says this is the outcome of what we got, but that was pretty much, it was all to get us, you know, the, even changing the name of the Economic Development and the EDA, you know, so that when somebody, a site selector is looking for Ulster County, that's what they're Googling. They're not Googling Office of Business Services. You know, so this, we're, it put us on the right track, I think.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. And for... Jason and everybody else, you know, I'm happy to sit down with you.
I'm going to definitely call. Yeah. Just to get.
Sure. I would be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Right. Resolution 136, supporting the placement of video lottery terminals at the Netley Grand Hotel, Country Club, and Town of Worthing. Motion to move it.
Motion to pass.
Okay. Second. I'll second. All right. Discussion?
Is Michael Traynor here?
No.
Oh, he's not proposing it. Well, he
is. Well, he is. You know, he really wanted it to come through in March, but it was just too late to get in. And he had the one from Pine Grove and the Hudson Valley Resort, right? Yeah. So we said we'd do this one. This one.
Okay. A couple things. You know, over time, I think, going all the way back to even the casino proposal, I think I was one of the more reluctant to support, although supported the idea of home rule, but issues of casino, we don't need to get into the whole thing again because, unfortunately, we didn't
see
the same thing. Yeah. But I have a couple issues with this resolution. The first is, you know, it's not supporting, it's saying legislation is in the process, but we're not supporting any specific legislation that's asking for at the Nevely Grant. And some of what I had hesitation over the resolution last month, and some of what convinced me about supporting last month's resolution of the go through my whole process. First of all, having the two gentlemen here and having them talk about that specific proposal where the money was going to go back. I'm not a gambler, so I didn't even know about this money that you build, whether you win or lose, it makes you feel like a winner no matter what. But how that money is going to go back into the community specifically, and in fact, couldn't even go into their own pockets or their own organization's pockets, was very compelling to me and very innovative. The Pine Grove Ranch, let me just finish my whole thought on that. The Pine Grove Ranch, speaking of that property in particular, I really understood what he was saying when he said, this is an amenity for our guests because people can't come in just off the street. It's not like people are going to go to Pine Grove Ranch or can just to video game. You have to have a day use, just like I can't take
my daughter and just say, can I ride your horses and just pay for the horses? I have to get a day pass or be an overnight guest. So it's a distinction, and I'm a little concerned about the idea of a proposal that I'm not actually hearing because Michael Trainor is not here, of a proposal for hundreds of gaming units, especially after the news, you know, from this only within this week, we had a major shooting at the biggest gaming place in the state.
Well, that's because they couldn't get daiquiris, guys.
But I'm saying it's just, I'm not really comfortable at the moment because I don't even know that I like the idea of just gaming units all over the place. So if Michael's not here to tell me what exactly, you know, why we want to, what his plan is for the hotel,
the plan for the hotel is a sports complex.
A sports complex?
Yeah. He's got 88 acres south of Route 209. And he would build a cross fields, baseball fields, soccer fields, those types of things. So the plan is for a resort with a sports complex where you could have, the AAU baseball games and soccer games. They're kind of like babies.
Traveling.
Yeah, that kind of thing. What the video lotteries do is it gives you that little bit of a cushion, much like the other resorts are looking at, that little bit of a cushion that kind of puts you over the edge when your season is down, when you don't have as much business. And that's really all that is. It's just another amenity.
But it's not another, it's an amenity, when you think of it as an amenity, as the way I understand it, it's an amenity for the guests of the hotel is what Mr. O'Halloran was saying. It's an amenity for our guests. This isn't an amenity. People could, as I understand it, but that Michael's not here to explain it, as I understand it, people, Barry Beth and I could say, let's just go over to the Neboli and play some lottery.
Right.
But it's not an amenity for us. It's our purpose. We're not a hotel guest getting an amenity at a pool.
The same thing is when you open the golf course, you can go play golf.
Right. This is not a new problem for me. You recall that I, even back with the Neboli, I was the holdout. I was at that time before Man was here, I was the one who was like, gambling thing, that the statistics don't prove that it brings in, but then I supported it, and I'm happy to, because I understand the challenges in the community, and I understand how important that property is, and I also understand what a lot of these properties meant, especially as I talk to people in the larger, in their neighboring counties too, what these properties once were, the grandeur of the bygone era of people coming here when it comes to hop on a plane to Vegas or Hawaii or whatever for cheap, you know, last minute trips. Like the families used to just drive up to the Catskills and Pleasant Valley and stay for a week. And that doesn't happen anymore. I'm just not sure about signing on to another, yes, I support as much gaming wherever and in whatever phase. And this isn't even supporting legislation that exists currently. I'm on the fence.
And let me just, the rest of the story on the money going back into the neighborhoods, that is money that, if you have a card, anybody that gambles out there, help me out if I fail on this one, because I'm not really a gambler, you play your card.
Right.
And because you play, if you win $100 or you lose $1,000, doesn't matter, you get points and you gather credits, let's say, mm-hmm. because you played.
Right.
That's what's going back. It's not the profit going back.
No, I know that.
Okay, it's
yeah.
just your individual.
I have never seen those cards, but I totally understand.
It's your credit thing. That's why, you know, people say, I went to Atlantic City for 3 days for free. That's part of that.
Right.
And that's also, honestly, that's how they keep track of what you do, how much you spend, how much you play, where you play, how long you play, and everything else. So.
I totally understand it, but I'm saying prior to hearing that from Mr. O'Halloran and Mr. Spitzer, I was more reticent about even supporting them. The other thing about supporting them is that we as a legislature
we pulled a resolution supporting them. They had asked for the game terminals, as you recall, way back when, and we said, no, we're not going to support this because we don't want to affect our support of the Neville. So I also felt a certain, I don't even know what the word would be, but I wanted to honor the fact that, you know, we held off, and they had to wait without their, not just their individual legislators, but without the whole legislative body being willing to support them, when in fact, I mean, I would hazard a guess that if Benevoli had gotten the casino, it would have been great for the county as a whole, certainly Allenville, but I feel like it would have sealed the deal on the Hudson Valley Resort. I mean, I can't imagine it surviving.
Well, the Hudson Valley Resort is their own worst enemy. Anybody that ever attempted to play golf there would tell you that, because they've never reinvested money in the place. So it's an 18-hole course that has about 13 and a half holes. And if you
play a couple twice.
because the greens are missing. I mean, they just, you know, they become their own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't remember them actually saying that, because they have video lottery terminals that you can't go to one of that hotel and play.
Mr. O'Halloran, that's why I said I couldn't speak to the Hudson Valley Resort, but Mr. O'Halloran was very specific that no one can come to his resort without getting a day pass.
Well, you can go to his resort and have dinner. So.
Yeah. I mean, I just know what he told us.
Yeah, well.
Is Michael Trainer going to come and interview?
I can ask him to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be great if he came just even over.
Or I could ask him, if, you know, if he's not in the area, because he's not always in the area, I can ask him if he can have a representative or...
Oh, no, that would be fine.
Felt they had a little bit better.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, so...
A representative would be fine.
And is there going to be legislation supporting this request?
I will take note whether you speak to your wall, but
is that who this is?
And I also will tell you that the little known fact all along was
those were specifically named. That didn't include this.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's just kind of an echo.
Yeah.
You know, Tracy said a lot of true, very true things. And, you know, if you remember, I think Mary Beth was the only person that was on this committee a year or two ago when, you know, David came to this committee. And I told him to go back and get the local support. We just didn't, you know, try to, and he had to go back, which he did again, at Carl Shipping here. I look at this thing as, you know, Michael Trainer, if he gets 400 or 500 additional video spots, he's going to dilute that market down there. Those two businesses that came here, they're hanging on, they need that. You know, that's what I mean. If he can get 500 and then a lottery terminal and then, you know, in his resort there, they're done. You know, Michael Trainer had his shot. I think we should be at the Pine Grove and Mrs. Fisher's resort.
But I also think that there was always kind of a plan B, but nobody ever spoke of it. This was the plan B.
But, you can't say.
And you know, some people, you know, you should have said something quietly. Well, yeah, right, okay.
Was he asked to be a part of that resolution that was before? I was told, or we heard, maybe at their last meeting, maybe.
I think he said
he didn't want to do it.
I've known Dave and I have been friends for 30 plus years.
At the meeting it was said that by someone that
I think it was Dave said it.
That David said it. They had gone to Mike Trainer and asked him to be a part of the resolution.
Yeah.
And he said
he wanted to do his own. Yeah.
Okay. It'd be good to talk to him or a representative.
Yep. Okay. I'll do that.
And then my interim will be that was
strong. We'll withdraw the resolution. Okay. All right. 139, establishing capital project number 451 to provide design right-of-way incidental work for the Hudson Valley Rail Trail West Phase 4 project and amending 2015/2020 capital program Department of Planning. Move it for discussion.
Second.
Okay. Okay. Discussion? Any discussion? You want to know, is Chris the resident expert? Anybody have questions?
Give you a quick overview of the position in Hudson Valley Rail Trail, about 3.5 miles from the walkway over the Hudson to Tony Williams Park. The town of Lloyd originally had a project that would take the rail trail another 2 miles to South Street near the Lois on 299, and they ended up having to spend more money to redo an old tunnel that the DOT required them to use. And they ended up truncating the project that they're doing so that they're only going from Tony Williams Park to near the fire station by the Hess gas station off of 299. And so we met with DOT last year to say, hey, DOT, we'd like to make this connection between the Hudson Valley Rail Trail and the Walkell Valley Rail Trail in New Paltz. Would you consider doing this project all the way to New Paltz? And they said, well, we will look at doing some funding of it, but you need to get it to our right-of-way, and here's what we propose. You guys fill out an application for Transportation Alternatives Program, take it to where the town would have left off, and then we'll try to build it in when and if funding is available in the new home. We submitted a competitive application. We were awarded that application, and so we'll build the part that the town wasn't able to do. And it really just keeps the momentum going. They're building phase three. We're queuing up phase four, and we're trying to get the DOT to make the commitment on funding with phase five and a possible phase six to get into the Walkout Valley Rail Trail. Okay. So we're getting closer and closer to New Paltz. At the end of our project, the Hudson Valley Rail Trail would be 5.5 miles. It would connect to the walkway, which is another 1.25 miles, and it would connect to the Duchess Rail Trail, which is over 13 miles. So you've got a really nice stretch that people can come up on the train and now bike through Duchess and then bike into Ulster.
Okay.
In terms of that phases, I think what you're talking about, phase 5 and 6, to take you all the way into New Paltz, does a rail trail exist currently that's just overgrown, or
how
did that happen?
That's the issue. Our phase is using part of the old railroad, but then you got to a point near South Street where that old railroad never made it to New Paltz. It went south to Maybrook. And so what we would be doing is basically taking a rail trail and then filling the gap to the next rail trail using the DOT's right away along Route 299.
So it would actually be on the road, but...
It would be off-road. It would resemble the trail that you have in Hurley off of Route 29.
Right.
So there's enough room for some separation and then a 10 or 12-foot trail that would wind down towards New Paltz.
That would be great. I mean, I know a lot of people who, believe it or not, including relatives, who take the train from the city with their bicycles, and they get off and ride to Gardner.
Yeah.
But it's a convoluted, complicated. They love it. But they would love it more if it was a four-state on the whole way.
And you know, the closer we get it to New Paltz, then it becomes more and more feasible for people that aren't, you know, strong road bicyclists to begin to think about, well, I only have a half mile to go here, and we're widening shoulders in some areas like South Plus Center. So it really would help us ultimately connect to the college and to the high school.
And for people in New Paltz to say, well, let me take a ride down to right across the walkway and back, like you're saying, into Duchess and on the way, I think would build up even more opportunities for little businesses, like little restaurants.
Drive more traffic through, you know, the business
area.
Any other questions? Okay, if not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 141, authorizing implementation and funding the first instance 100% of federal aid, eligible cost of transportation federal aid for project Hudson Valley Rail Trail West Phase 4. Is this like the same thing?
This allows the county to sign the agreement for funding just for the design and right-of-way incidental phase. So that's $175,000, $150,000 for the design, $25,000 for the title research and the right of way research.
Cool.
Okay.
Opposed? We place you authorized on continuation of Ag District number 2, Walker River, Sands of the Sophus Gardner, New Falls, Dr. Rosendale, Shongo, Village of New Falls, Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? If not, all in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Aye. Opposed?
Yeah, the meeting minutes. Is that what that is? The meeting minutes? Is that part of that resolution?
You do have theater attached. Is that right? Yeah,
no, they were submitted at 4 o'clock.
No.
Oh, okay, because I thought that
was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just so you know, the resolution that we're offering is a little bit different from the recommendations from the Farmland Protection Board. We reached out to the Farmland Protection Board at their meeting to all the involved landowners that were proposed to be removed from the district. We had two landowners who returned to us and asked to remain in the district. So the departments are offering, and the Department of Protection Board is aware of this. We went back to that as well. The departments are offering a resolution that would essentially include those parcels that were proposed to take. That one is essentially Sarah's Road subdivision in the town of Gardner. Subdivision with no improvements on it. The farmer has actually indicated that he wants to maintain it in agriculture. And then there's one individual that is has a house on it and indicated that he wants to begin to start some things. So that's the case. I mean, the only interesting thing I would say to you about Sarah's Road subdivision is we had a significant debate in the Protection Board meeting about whether it should be in or out. There's a commitment. There's a commitment to subdivide. The parcel is subdivided. You can see as part of the resolution, you can see the ownership pattern with wife, husband and wife avoids some zoning issues that I'm aware of. But what I'm seeing anyway is the fact that the agricultural farmers have to figure out a way to essentially hold land in subdivision and pay agricultural district taxes until such time that they sell them off. That said, there is a compelling reason to allow them to remain in agriculture, but be aware of the fact that I'm sure that the farmers are smart enough to figure this out, that they can subdivide the properties and then essentially continue to do agriculture and sell the lots off one by one and not have to pay taxes on the basis that they have approved subdivision law. Yes.
So in that case, Dennis, so for example, if one of these lots sold, then that one would come out?
That one.
And all the rest
of it? It would still remain in the district. The district is reviewed every 8 years, so the lot itself would remain in the district. The ag exemption would not.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to pay a penalty. But the holding cost for, you have to think of the holding cost for subdivision,
mm-hmm.
which is as soon as you subdivide the property, the assessors will go ahead and reassess on the basis of the fact they have approved subdivision. Now those assessments will essentially remain in that as part of an ag district assessment.
So this has been subdivided since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an ag and it's been farmed the whole time?
It continues to be farmed, which is why the recommendation was
to maintain it.
It continues to be I think it's still part of it, still an orchard, and part of it's still a cropland, as I recall.
It's the one off of, yeah, that's the next one. Yeah. So just so I'm clear that if a parcel is, if one of the subdivided lots is sold, so they could, because it's still all subdivided, they could start selling it out piece by piece, beginning once they get the exemption, and it would take how long for the cash situation
to shift? As soon as they sold it off, they would have to pay a penalty. It's, in an ag district, the penalty, I think, is 2.5 times. So
savings.
The way the savings, if I may,
go. That's what you do.
When you had an agricultural lot, and the situation said I went in and I had 5 lots, and I put $50,000 on each one, that every year the state of New York issues soil values. So even though I put $50,000 on it, they have to get a soil map, and then the planning department determines
what soils make up that parcel, and then we actually have a scale that's set by open the value per acre. And they're usually fairly good, a couple hundred dollars, $300-$500 per acre.
Even if you're beekeeping?
So now the difference between the $50,000 and the value per acre is the exemption. So it brings it down to asset savings. So if now you sell that off, that's what they're looking to get back.
Is the savings.
The savings.
And a penalty.
And a penalty.
But if, if you were to take them out of the district and then they became a farm, again, they ain't bona fide, but that's it, we were going to unfund the line, we're going to farm. Then if they were out of the district, they couldn't get back in for this review?
They're annually. They get put back in annually. They're the same with the assessment site.
Yeah.
It's every year.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't for 8 years sit there and even it up there.
I mean, the farmer's indicated to us that he doesn't believe there's a market for the land for the next 8 years. I think we'd have a different discussion if there was actually improvements on the lots, that they had to put a road in, those kinds of things.
It'd
be a different discussion. There's no roads that are in there. Yeah.
155, creating the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee.
We voted.
Just one more comment on 142. I just want to thank everybody. If next time there's a farmland protection meeting, if you want to go, I mean, it's really cool that there's actual farmers and, they know the farmers and I don't know.
And they all know each other.
Right. They're not really doing that there, and Bert Samuelson is.
So they keep each other in check.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of work putting everything together. So it's a lot of work. The office does. They drive all their tractors, they park them in the parking lot.
I mean,
yeah, it's too
close, but...
Yeah.
What do they meet?
There's really no schedule.
Yeah, they'll meet when they have to. But we're starting another review, so we'll have another Ag District review coming down. So probably, I would suspect that they'll meet somewhere in July or August again. And then just everybody realizes that there's a significant amount of money for conservation easements that have gone into the new state budget, somewhere I think around $20 million. The Farmland Protection Board renders an opinion on those. If somebody wants to purchase development rights, the Farmland Protection Board has to render an opinion on whether that's a valid exercise. So if one of those comes up, part of the process, we'll have to be on that as well.
And you break it down by district, so each district has a need separately, right?
Yeah, there's four districts, and we also just ended a 30-day review period for additions to the district, ended March 30th, so we'll be meeting again on those additions to present those additions to the legislature as well.
Okay. 155. The Ulster Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee. Move it for discussion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
So this is, as you recall, last month Ken put on the table 96, which was dissolving the Railroad Advisory Committee and creating the Corridor Committee. This is not dissolving the Railroad Advisory. This is really a committee that's going to focus on what we have to date in the way of plans, kind of reexamining all the plans that we have to date, looking at potentially some additional research with regards to single track corridors, railroads, etc. The focus is the corridor and the economic viability and, given all the plans out there, the new shift that's coming from the executive side with regard to the Kingston corridor. This is for the legislature to really evaluate all of the information we have to date. Dig a little bit deeper around the issues to ensure we have a full understanding. We already have a policy in place. The question is, does that policy stand, or in this review process, do we want to look at something different? And the whole point of this group is to look at that with the assistance of an independent consultant to help with some of the research and comparison work that we think could add value to this process, and then come back to this body with a review of what we came up with and any potential recommendations. And as you can see, it is myself, Manito, Ken, and the folks on the committee. So it's looking at all sides of the issue as it pertains to the corridor, not as it pertains to current leasee or any of that, but to really focus on our policy for the corridor.
Other questions? When you say your policy for the corridor,
mm-hmm.
Well, this committee is a subcommittee,
yes.
Not a standing committee.
No.
So
it's reporting him. It's a special advisory committee.
Is it in the special committee?
No.
He's more than willing to give up his seat.
I didn't know, so there's a quorum of this committee on there.
You know, and the whole idea is, you know, let the railroad advisor continue to operate. You know, otherwise we're just transferring, you know, dialogues that occur there to this group. Let's keep this group focused. You know, looking at what we have, digging a little deeper, you know, peeling back any questions and maybe some additional research, which is, you know, having an independent consultant come in and help facilitate that can be very beneficial.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Any old business? Any new business? Any monkey business?
Up to 30, but I didn't know that.
Motion to adjourn? Very well. Second. Tracy? Anybody want to discuss that?
No.
Okay. All in favor? All right.